Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week, we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today, Friday, October 2nd, 2009, I am delighted to welcome Richard Binhammer. He is the Senior Manager of Corporate Affairs at Dell, who may be better known as his Twitter handle, Richard at Dell. Welcome, Richard.
Hey, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. So you're in Austin. I'm here in the Bay Area. How's the weather?
It's a nice day so far. It's supposed to be a little rainy. Everybody's excited because it's Austin City Limits Music Weekend. So,
exactly.
You know, big weekend here.
Fantastic.
Expecting some rain.
Well, let's let you introduce yourself because I think your background, from what I've read, is pretty interesting, and that might help enlighten some callers who perhaps don't know as much about you and your background.
Okay. My career spans, my education and career spans back to days in Canada where I worked in politics. As an aide to both some federal and provincial cabinet ministers and a policy assistant to a prime minister and ran various election campaigns. Then in the mid-90s, I moved to the States and began work in corporate communications and doing less kind of public policy. I was a lobbyist as well in Canada for a period of time, but then I moved to the States to focus more on get out of the lobbying business and the public policy kind of side of things and focus more on corporate communications and was a consultant at Fleshman Hillard and then Golan Harris in New York, Fleshman Hillard in St. Louis. Actually, at Fleshman Hillard, it's where I first came across Dell. I worked for them as a consultant back in the late 90s. Mm. And then in 2005, they recruited me to join the public affairs team. Excuse me. And then in 2006, I got asked to join a couple other people and kind of figure out how we should go about listening, learning, and engaging in the blogs. And not just on our blog, but, you know, throughout the blogosphere. To use an overused word, and kind of have been at our social media efforts ever since.
Fantastic.
So that's almost, what's that, August 2006 to now, so that's 3 years.
Yeah. So, you know, as I was saying to you before the show started, almost every guest that I've had on the program, perhaps with the rare exception of, like, analytics experts, et cetera, have noted Dell, of course, as a major success and perhaps an unparalleled success in the social media sphere, meaning that, you know, you've gone from, you know, being criticized for not being responsive enough as a company to being so responsive that you're now making money based on the goodwill of the efforts that have taken place online. Of course, that's been a process over time. Can you tell us what part you played and kind of the genesis of some of those ideas, if you want to give us your perspective on that the evolution of Dell's social media effort and presence?
Sure. Certainly, that's a flattering perspective. You know, when you're inside the organization, you never quite perceive it.
there's something better, right?
yeah, and you always know kind of the shortcomings or where you want to improve and continue to get better at all of this. And with the web, as it, you know, continues to evolve, you know, to kind of be considered you know, leaders or the people that have kind of broken the ground is always, that's flattering. So anyway, I mean, we do work hard at it, but it is flattering.
It's true. I mean, you guys have actual numbers.
Right, right. And, you know, and we have all kinds of numbers. And you know, you've asked for a little bit of perspective on the evolution. You know, I think, you know, just to do the kind of quick history lesson, back in March 2006, it was actually Michael Dell who came, you know, to some of his senior people on his team and said, you know, if people are blogging about us and talking about us, why aren't we out there responding? You know, it is part of our direct heritage to be interacting with our customers directly. And hence, in by about March 2006, I think we had our kind of what I'll call the technical support SWAT team, or our community ambassadors engaged in, you know, connecting with customers that were having either issues with technical support, or they hadn't called technical support but were, you know, blogging about problems they might be having with their computers. That early process kind of in March 2006, and then we launched our own blog in July 2006, that early time frame also showed us that it wasn't just a matter of kind of technical support questions. There were lots of questions and lots of commentary and both pro and con, by the way. But, you know, there were lots of people talking about the company. And I often quote a Michael Dell story from Business Week in 2007 where he said, you know, let's face it, the world has changed. The web has changed. It has become a much more interactive rather than static web. And the conversations are going on about you and your company, whether you choose to be a part of those conversations or not. His argument is that we ought to be a part of those conversations, to listen, to learn, engage, you know, understand and participate in those conversations with our customers. And so, you know, and that goes beyond just the technical support questions. So by August 2006, we were, you know, really kind of engaging with bloggers in the broader blogosphere. By 2007, we did the IdeaStorm launch, and later that year is when Twitter came out, and we, you know, were early adopters on that front.
Mm-hmm.
And again, kind of on an experimental basis to see what was happening, and have continued, you know, to evolve throughout it, both in our forums, where, you know, we've done things to try and tag information and make it, you know, again, using some tools of Web 2.0, such as tags, you know, tagging accepted
mm-hmm.
solutions so that people can more easily find them. You know, so whether it's on Dell.com or we also implemented ratings and reviews from customers, we've continued to, I think, evolve in the social space, if I can call it that, and at the same time both interact on you know, the broader Web 2 community, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or people's blogs, but at the same time take some of those lessons learned and incorporate them into, you know, Dell.com and make Dell.com more interactive and more also a part of a social community.
Mm-hmm. You guys have done a great job with your forums. I know you've teamed with different companies to reward people that have answered support questions correctly,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, those kinds of things, acknowledging who's already there, which is a huge piece. But one thing that, you know, I'm hearing is that, you know, you had to start somewhere. And
yep.
So many companies today can relate, and I work with a lot of small and medium businesses who are like, we're getting on the train late. These other, you know, because, you know, the headlines come from the bigger companies like Dell, so they're feeling pressured more than ever, it seems like, to start somewhere, and they don't know where to do it. And there are a lot more tools in place now than even a few years ago. So
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how you went about, and whether it was strategic or tactical, when you know, kind of entered the fray. How did you decide where to start?
Well, like I say, we started by listening to what people were saying about us, and then actually not only listening to them, but you know, hearing them. And then the difference I'm drawing there between listening and hearing is actually, you know, you can listen, but if you hear, you actually internalize that information and take a look at it and see whether it makes sense and compare it to your own business processes or what's going on in your business, and then engage in a conversation about it. And, you know, Lionel, my colleague, the chief blogger, Lionel at Dell, and I were speaking at a conference a couple weeks ago, and we put up a slide at the Social South conference that said strategy is one thing, but ultimately, you know, to understand this space, you need to roll up your sleeves a bit and put your finger in the water or get down to work. And I'm a strong believer that kind of in this situation, it was not that we didn't have a strategy. We generally had some parameters of strategies, which were we understood, having watched and listened for a while, that people were commenting about us, and that those comments were not always accurate and not always fair. There were also comments which we could learn from and do a better job of because of. And so, you know, our original strategy was really to start engaging with people that were talking about us on the basis of understanding what they were concerned about and either fixing it or explaining to them, you know, reasons why it was that way. Which is something, you know, that I think for companies is an important consideration here. Just because you get involved in social media doesn't mean that ultimately you have to say yes to everything. People respect and understand, you know, that there are constraints. You know, I had someone on Twitter a couple of weeks ago ask me about a, you know, potential product. And I said to them, well, you know, I can't talk about potential product launches. A, you know, that's competitive info to Dell. And B, I have a, you know, employment contract that says I'm obliged to, you know, uphold company confidential information. And guess what? The response wasn't, you know, you nitwit for not answering my question. The response was, you know what? I get it and I understand. I just had to ask the question anyway. And, you know, so ultimately people will, you know, be fair and give you the benefit of the doubt if you're being straightforward with them about what's going on.
So would you say that, like, the first, you know, after you started listening then hearing, that you were going on to maybe other people's blogs, or was it more?
We've always. I mean, our
and
roots.
And so going on and kind of clarifying or offering to assist. How did you look at, so another key piece of this is that I get asked about all the time is staffing. So in terms of, you know, Dell, obviously having Michael Dell from the top down saying we need to get this done, you know, is great, but it's also kind of daunting too, because especially a few years ago, like I said, less tools in place, and I'm thinking of monitoring tools or even, you know, ways of tracking blog commentary, you know, so if you can, you know, track to see if someone said something negative after you've posted that might further muddy something. So those things weren't in play. So how did you...
they weren't. We started with an RSS reader pulling in RSS feeds and searches with the word Dell, and an Excel spreadsheet, and a web browser.
So not a lot.
They're all free services, and they're all readily available to anyone that wants them. All you have to do is go out there and do it.
So you're a big believer in free.
Well, yeah. I mean, we also use, I mean, today we use Radiant 6. And, you know, have made some more sophistication around our tools. But when we started, like I said, we were running, you know, Google blog search, Technorati blog search, Twitter search, pulling those RSS search feeds into a reader, right? Working through the reader every day. The things that we acted on or needed to, you know, keep track of, copying and pasting into an Excel spreadsheet, and using our email system.
So
you know,
that's,
I mean,
fantastic to, you know, hear the ingenuity behind it all. But, you know, the follow-up I'd have is, you know, sort of, how did you know how to staff it?
Well, I don't think we did know how to staff it, and even to this day, we continue to wrestle with some of those issues, but I think it's also fair to say that when we started this, it was really, you know, there was a small team of us where it was kind of part of our job, you know, and so, you know, we didn't, you know, I'll get back to the question again where I said, you know, you can sit and strategize till you're blue in the face and not be sure whether you got it right. I mean, part of what we did was rolled up our sleeves, you know, dipped our toe in the water and kind of got at it. And then, you know, as time evolved, we allocated more people or found additional people to get involved or, you know, dropped some things here and added things there or whatever. But, you know, when we, for example, when I started it in the blog, you know, kind of the blog listening and outreach, it was, you know, kind of 75% of my job, and, you know, some other things fell off my plate, and I still managed, the other things were kind of manageable. And then as we moved forward, you know, those ratios changed, and we did certain things, and, you know, and today I pick up some other responsibilities because I'm not doing all of that all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, you know, we started with people that understood our company.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and, you know, a little bit of a number of people's time in order to get the thing up and going, and then worried about ramping it later.
So one question I have is...
You just can't predict those things, I don't think, you know, until you kind of get into it a little bit.
Yeah, which is, you know, unfortunately the guidance you have to give any organization is that there's going to be some of what you said, I think, you know, very rightly, which is some modification of existing roles like your own at that time, and then some potential staffing either in the future or right away, depending on how aggressive you want to be.
Exactly.
One of the things I want to ask you, because, you know, I think this is, you know, really worth delving into, is kind of what was the first marker for you guys internally that you can share where you felt like you were making inroads towards your goals? Because it sounds like you were very goal-based, and the goal was to... And maybe I'm wrong in this, so let me know if my assumption's wrong.
Let me take the question in a little different direction, if I can.
Sure.
Why don't I tell you the first, because, you know, when I went to this meeting in August 2006, first of all, I didn't know I was getting the assignment. Someone kind of forgot to tell me. And I was sitting in this meeting, and I learned that I was getting this assignment. So, first of all, I didn't know I was getting the assignment, number one. Number two, it wasn't an assignment I had asked for. You know, I wasn't sitting here kind of going, oh, we got to do something about social media, let me at it. And number three, to be perfectly frank, when I got it, I kind of went home that night and I was like, social media, I don't even know what this stuff is. I'm not even sure I believe in it. So in terms of markers, let me tell you my personal marker. Because I think it speaks to kind of some of our lessons learned.
Mm-hmm.
And you may recall the battery recall from a couple years ago that we had, which was really one of our first forays into, you know, listening and responding. And we had made a conscious decision that in the context of that recall, that whoever mentioned it, we were going to go wherever it was mentioned, and give them additional information and talk to them about, you know, the recall, or give them the link to the additional recall information. And at the time, I was working with one of my colleagues, John P. at Dell, John Pope. And shortly after the recall was announced, a blogger had kind of written, not a nasty blog, but it sounded maybe a little kind of tongue-in-cheek or maybe a little sarcastic, you know, and they said, well, you know, kind of finally Dell fesses up to having to do this battery recall. And so we were sitting here, and like I say, at that time it was an all manual process, you know, a Technorati search and a Google blog search with a refreshing of the browser button. And this post came in, and we decided to go and say, you know, thanks for your comment, and you know, there are a couple other companies that are also recalling batteries and following our lead. And by the way, you know, here's the link to make sure that you've got additional information. And that blogger immediately followed our comment with kind of a shock and surprise, first of all, that Dell had come by and commented. And secondly, that blogger pointed out that the batteries were actually Sony batteries.
Aha. Uh-huh.
At which point, I had my little aha moment, which was, first of all, they're shocked and surprised and delighted that we commented, and secondly, we didn't have to point out that we don't make the batteries, that the batteries are Sony batteries. We didn't point that out. The blogger did. And I thought to myself, this is a very, very powerful communications tool.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, having worked in PR, that's kind of the holy grail, I guess,
of
the way something can evolve.
Yeah, and when you have that kind of third-party speak out for you, right?
Right.
So that was kind of, you know, so when you say what were some of the markers, that was one of my personal markers where I thought to myself, you know what, this stuff matters. You know, because it was not a, this person wasn't blogging on TechCrunch, but on the other hand, they weren't, you know, buried to the world either. I mean, they had significant readers.
I think that that's one of, you know, in you know, my maybe not so humble opinion, you know, one of the beauties of the Dell brand in terms of social media is that sort of like there are no dumb questions. So it's you know, it's been a nice leveling of, you know, kind of anyone. There's a low level of entry, so you can enter at a very high level and be very technical in the forum space, but there's lots of other ways to engage with the brand. And so one thing I, you know, can't go without asking you about is Dell Outlet. Dell Outlet, you know, announced big sales. Can you tell us a little bit about Dell Outlet and its sales for those that may not know that specific success?
Sure. Recently, I think in, what, July of this year, a couple months ago anyway, we announced that Dell Outlet had now accomplished $2 million in revenue from, you know, people following them on Twitter and then following their links into Dell Outlet and purchasing products, so that they've generated $2 million off of Twitter. And that in addition to that, what we have seen and released in our last kind of report on this and had not previously released, so I don't have comparative data, but we also announced in the last time we went around on this that we're now also seeing that people not only will follow the Dell Outlet Twitter offers, the offers that are made on Twitter, into Dell Outlet, but in some cases those people will then click over to Dell.com, and instead of buying from Dell Outlet, they're buying new on Dell.com to the tune of $1 million. So in other words, the Dell Outlet offers on Twitter have generated directly $2 million for Dell Outlet, but it has also led to an additional $1 million over on Dell.com.
Well, I'd say that's success.
So, you know, there's also a bill in revenue, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, ultimately, the bottom line rules when it comes to a company, it has to. So one question I wanted to ask you about, because this has been debated in the circles I run in, did Dell have a strategy when it came to Dell Outlet to start with?
Well, sure. But the strategy is driven by what the business is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately what it was that Twitter filled a very specific need for a business. And you have to think about Dell Outlet is exactly what it says. It is an outlet for, you know, scratch and dent and returned goods. Think of it as, you know, the open box special at Best Buy, right?
Right.
Where
someone,
you know, they've either had something on display or, you know, someone bought something, they took it home, it didn't fit in the corner, so they brought it back, right? Never been used, but the box is open, you can't resell it as new.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what Dell Outlet does. That's what they sell. So now imagine, it's an online store that doesn't know whether it will have 5 studio laptops to sell today or 55 studio laptops to sell today, right? Because you don't know what's coming in day to day.
Right.
And B, if you have 55 to sell, you don't know, and you learn that today, it's too late to buy an newspaper ad in the New York Times for Sunday, or anywhere else for that matter. It's too late to buy a Sunday newspaper ad that says we've got 55 laptops, studio laptops, that we, you know, need to clear out because they came in overnight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Twitter offers a very, very, very ideal situation for Dell Outlet, because if we get 55 laptops in overnight and need to clear those laptops, we can put a price on them today and clear them on Twitter today.
Which
now,
is fantastic.
Right. Now, unless you knew of Dell Outlet in the previous life and kind of went there, you know, 6 times a day to check what was coming in inventory, you wouldn't know what Dell Outlet has or hasn't got, because we had no way of kind of putting that out there all the time in a live feed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we've all of a sudden got extra stuff to sell that's been returned, we can put out a special offer on Twitter, and away we go. So there is what Twitter offered, i.e. the 140 characters and the immediacy of Twitter, very much fits with a business need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people don't always kind of put that whole picture together, but there's a very specific business need and unique kind of situation about, we don't know whether today or tomorrow, you know, how many laptops we're going to have to clear at a Dell outlet.
Mm-hmm. So one question that I have kind of along those lines is it a goal of Dell's to have people that, let's say, used Dell outlet in its web incarnation alone move over to using Twitter? You know, so that, you know, because we see some companies perhaps even abandoning websites in favor of, you know, Facebook pages or some other social media tool. But obviously with Dell Outlet, you could kind of imagine that, you know, it's almost like as long as Twitter exists and there's that immediacy, you almost don't even need, in a sense, the website. But there are those people that...
Dell.com is a very important part of, you know, our online presence, both because of its community that's integrated with it, but also, you know, it's a very important kind of shopping spot for a lot of technology buyers, including, by the way, our large business buyers, you know, that you don't always see on the consumer pages, you know.
Mm-hmm. B2B buyers.
So Dell and, you know, Dell Outlet is always going to be kind of that adjunct on Dell.com, and it's mm-hmm. there. Like I said at the beginning, I think you'll see more and more of Dell.com become, you know, integrated and kind of quote-unquote socialized.
Mm-hmm.
You can currently share certain pages on Twitter or Facebook, and, you know, I think we're certainly looking at things like social shopping and various other initiatives. You know, you will notice that a lot of the information, if you were working on Dell.com, a lot of the information has become kind of what we consider social information, in the sense that, you know, videos will load contextually in terms of what you're looking at. So if you're looking mm-hmm. at a particular laptop, then a link to the video on that laptop is available, and so is the link to, you know, ratings and reviews and all kinds of other things. So I don't see either, you know, something like Facebook or Twitter replacing any of what we have. What I think you'll see, though, is what we have continue to merge and morph and emerge as equally social.
Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm getting at is, will users, I guess I asked this, you know, my husband was, you know, he bought a computer from Dell Outlet
mm-hmm.
Years ago. And that thing, I mean, it's still running. He mm-hmm. has since bought another computer, but big evangelist of Dell Outlet as a website, but doesn't like Twitter. It's not his thing. And I'm not sure that he would buy into Facebook stuff. So he's a Gen Xer, but he's not, you know, a huge social media person.
Right.
Is he someone that Dell at some point you think would need to convert to meet its goals, or do you feel like you haven't made enough of, you know, because, you know, every company has got to look at how far they've gone down the road of social media to possibly excluding others. Do you feel like Dell's still inclusive of all of those?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because that's, you know, obviously one of the big struggles for other companies that are listening and trying to learn is, you know, how do we make sure
I think Dell.com will always both service in a traditional sense, but will also become, you know, increasingly social for those that want to use it that way.
So we talked a minute ago
because all of a sudden if you're on Dell.com and there's ratings and reviews related to a to a um, to a product that you're looking at or an opportunity to share a product that you're looking at on Facebook, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to use it.
Sure,
some
sure.
People, you might, because you're very involved in social media. Your husband won't because he's not.
Mm-hmm.
But the choices are there and the options are there.
Right. Yeah, I just, you know,
it becomes
I asked
all
that
about,
question.
It's all about you, you know?
Right.
Really.
I just asked that question because I think people do get scared that they will alienate if they, I've had that, you know, discussion with folks where, if I add that button, I'm going to alienate my audience. But
why? By
you
putting
know,
a button on that says I can share with this with my friends on Facebook?
I know.
Mean, that doesn't alienate people. I mean, it just gives people choices to do what they want to do with it.
Which is,
right?
I think, important for them to hear from you because you've made a success of this. This effort, right? So, you know, it's better than me saying it. So I feel like it's one of those have to ask questions, right? That you mentioned earlier. So,
right.
You know, one of the things that I went into asking you about the Dell Outlet question was about the strategy. And you mentioned that it's, you know, part of the larger business strategy and also that it was beneficial and that people bought from, you know, bought brand new Dells as well. The discussions that I had with some people is around what the strategy was. So, for example, is the strategy using Twitter or is it the messaging that you're using to, you know, to pull people into the purchasing e-commerce side of, you know, fulfilling the purchase process or completing the purchase process once they've found a deal on Twitter that sounds good?
No, I think the strategy was that you know, Twitter in the case of Dell Outlet, Twitter offered, you know, as I tried to indicate previously, it was a matching of a business objective and business need and what Twitter happens to offer. And so it's not a question of you know, diverting people to Dell.com or anything else. What it was, you know, the immediacy of Twitter allows us to do the immediacy of deals that we need to do in order to clear inventory that is completely unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
right.
Not like, and, you know, again, I'll go back to the first example, or part of that example. In order to put an ad in a Sunday newspaper and say that the Dell outlet has this is almost, unworkable for what Dell Outlet is, because on the Sunday newspaper day, we don't know whether we will have 55 studio laptops or 5 studio laptops. So how do you write that ad on the Friday and get it into
right.
the Sunday paper and still guarantee that you've got those laptops that you advertise that you're discounting to clear?
Absolutely.
With Twitter, we don't have that problem.
I totally get
So that's what I'm saying is that The strategy was that Twitter offered a great opportunity for us to now market more aggressively what we sell from Dell Outlet and to better manage our business.
What would happen if, so, you know, we all know the stories of Twitter and follow its travails about whether it's, you know, what its business model is going to be in the future. What if Twitter were to go to an ad model that didn't match Dell's goals? You know, for example, competitors could be on a Dell outlet page or et cetera.
You know what? You know, who knows? And I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those. It's so.
You know, I'm not going to speculate about what Twitter will or will not do in terms of its own revenue generation or, you know, business model. And until Twitter decides what it's going to do, you know, there's no sense in me speculating on the what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing that makes sense is what it is today and how it works today and, you know, how that works for a particular aspect of our business.
Mm-hmm. So aside from Twitter and the followings that you have and the success stories there, where do you feel your other maybe hidden achievements lie?
I think we've got a great story going on and an evolving story, one that will continue to evolve, I think, over the next few months in Facebook. We've got a very active kind of small business community going on there. We, a couple of years ago, put up on Facebook a small business kind of tips for small businesses to use social media that's got a great number of fans. And, you know, we've got some other interactive things that are going on in Facebook around small business, and I think that's very exciting. There are some other things, you know, on Twitter, I think also the untold, you know, everybody loves to focus on the revenue, and I understand that. I think the, there are one particularly really interesting aspect of Twitter, which is also that there are over 100 Dell people on Twitter. And those people are connecting with, you know, customers or other stakeholders in all kinds of different ways and sharing information or gathering information or, you know, sharing news or whatever the case may be. And I think there's some really exciting stuff going on there. I mean, you know, kind of our chief gamer at Dell that, you know, deals with high-end gaming rigs and the gaming community is connecting with all kinds of gamers on Twitter, and to someone in our chief technology officer's office who works on kind of Linux and Red Hat and high-end data center servers is connecting with that community on Twitter and, you know, answering all kinds of questions or talking about, you know, technology issues, as is someone like Dell Server Geek, which is all about high-end, you know, big data centers for our enterprise, large business customers. And those kinds of stories, I think, are really exciting, you know, and they may have a couple hundred followers, they may have a couple thousand followers. I don't really care what the numbers are, although it's always nice to see the big numbers. But, you know, even the small numbers, they're developing a really kind of loyal following and connection with customers that they do right every day from their desk, you know, and even if it's only for 20 minutes or half an hour, I think that's a very exciting kind of diffusion of social media into the business where it really becomes part of everybody's day and a competitive advantage to those people that are using it.
So you know that I asked folks to tweet in questions, and, you know, one of the questions was that, you know, why isn't there a place to help me learn how to upgrade more easily components on my home PC? And
well, that's a good.
That's a
that's
very
good,
you know, like in the minutia of things.
Mm-hmm.
But is that there, one of the? I'm
there
sorry,
is.
Go ahead.
First of all, there are some opportunities on Dell.com to do that. If you go to Dell.com and have your customer service number and put it in, there is an opportunity there on the customer support, and I don't mean technical support, but kind of the customer service page, where you can get suggestions about, you know, what might be needed or helpful in terms of upgrading your current hardware. The other thing that I would say, and to whoever put that question in, is, you know, that's not a bad idea, actually, to strengthen that, and it's interesting that it's being asked for by someone, you know, that's raised the question. So I would say what I have said to many other people, which is you ought to go to ideastorm.com and put that idea on ideastorm.com and then tell all your friends to go and vote for it.
Okay.
You know, because ideastorm.com, which we launched in early 2007 and again as part of our efforts in social media, is really kind of an opportunity for us to, you know, crowdsource innovation and have our customers participate in product development. And in fact, the latest generation of Dell Minis, the product development team went on to Twitter for several weeks and collected ideas on Twitter as well as at ideastorm.com. So I would encourage that listener to put that idea in at ideastorm.com and get it voted up a few times so that we could get our folks to take a look at it.
Very cool. And I think that user was at Linz. Let's see, another question that came in was around what has surprised you most, and I assume they mean in your, they could mean in your entire career, but I think it, you know, most at while you've been at
right.
Dell.
Right. Well, I think the story I told you earlier about kind of the battery recall was
mm-hmm.
kind of my biggest surprise. The other thing that I often am not surprised about, but I think people need to understand, and I particularly say this for other business people, is, you know, a lot of businesses tend to, I think, kind of approach the web from almost a scary perspective, right? It's like, oh, my God, there's all this negative stuff out there, and we've got to go deal with it, and it's awfully scary. And my experience has been absolutely the opposite, that, yeah, sure, there's some negative stuff here and there, but also there are lots of people that are there to support you. There are lots of people there, you know, in my first couple outings on the web, I think I made a couple kind of stumbles, just, you know, maybe I spoke too bureaucratically or was kind of using company language too much or something, and people called me on it, but they called me on it in helpful ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember a couple other people that had kind of, you know, concerns about Dell as a company and were expressing concerns, and once I answered their issues or talked to them a little bit, they became, you know, for example, my first, one of the first people, one of my comments around the web led to another person telling me to, you know, I needed to check out Delicious Bookmarks, and I needed to check out this, and I needed to check out that in order to get my feet on the ground in social media back in 2006,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that all came from people that I was interacting with that fundamentally were ultimately generous.
Mm.
You know, it's not
yeah.
it's not a big, bad, kind of scary world out there that it's often made out to be.
Yeah. And following up on that, I think education is a really great point. How, besides, you know, the goodwill of so many folks on the internet and the social web, was there any formalized training that you did, you know, whether it was
No, this was on the job training.
On the job training. Got
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, this was,
you know,
live and learn as you go. This is live and learn as you go.
And
we do training internally now,
mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes I'm part of that. But no, there was no rule book when I started.
So let me ask you this, and I'm not asking you necessarily to evaluate any particular company, but just anything, you know, or I mean not to endorse necessarily any company out there, but, you know, there are companies where I've gone, gee whiz, this is really helpful information, or it's presented in a really simple way. So a company I can point to that's done that is HubSpot, where there's some really basic
mm-hmm.
slides there, and I don't mind, you know, it's so nice and basic and first step that, you know, I'll send it off to a client and say, you know, hey, here's a good entry. Anything like that that you have, you know, come across, or any company that you would point to?
Yeah. Yeah, you could. I point you to my bookmarks or my favorites on both SlideShare and YouTube.
Mm, yeah.
Or, you know, my Delicious Bookmarks, and you'll find all kinds of them, because I'm
mm-hmm.
constantly kind of collecting information from others that I think is helpful too, to share in one way, shape, or form or another. So
I thought you had a research folder.
I do, but, you know, but, you know, most of my research folders are public on the web. Because I've become part of this whole social media thing. I also have shared Google Reader items, and I put them up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are places that I would go. I must say that yesterday I was reading Kodak's social media tips, which I thought was very impressive. And I tweeted about it, so the link's in the Twitter stream, but you can also find it on SlideShare, or if you just search Google for Kodak social media tips. I thought it was a pretty slick presentation. And by slick, I mean nice.
Well, I'm going to make sure that we put that on my website, jenniferlindsay.com, for folks listening, so that we have that available as well. Another question. This is from a client who wants to remain anonymous, asking, has this been fun for you?
Yeah, it's been a blast.
What's your favorite part? What's been your favorite part?
All of it. Interacting with people on the web, I think, is phenomenal. Even if you get, you know, kicked around a few times, I mean, I always learn from it. I find that really interesting. There's always more to do than you can possibly do, so it's always a challenge to figure out how to go about, you know, doing the best job you can to get it at all. We're one of the most mentioned brands on the web, period, so, you know, that's a huge challenge, is just the volume. And to figure out how to best winnow that volume down into what's meaningful and purposeful and make it efficient and effective for the company and for myself. But, you know, it's been a great ride for, three years for me, because I just, you know, like I told you, I was kind of not even sure what the space was all about, so to kind of live it and learn it and you know, really kind of start to see how it worked and be a part of it, it's a blast.
And everybody loves following you. You have a fantastic amount of followers, which leads me kind of to a question related to the way you responded to the question about anything being, you know, scary or surprising, I guess. We touched on, you know, that you're not really scared like others of pieces of the social web. But one aspect that does seem to scare people that comes up, and I'll ask you how you deal with it, which is separating personal from private, if that's even possible. How do you look at that and approach
it? You know, that's always a little bit of a challenge, and it's a legitimate issue. It's kind of a tough issue. To be a little bit provocative,
mm-hmm.
I'll say this: if you are a business person and you go out for lunch with another business person, you know, or a client and a consultant, or, you know, two business people looking at potentially partnering or whatever. And say you do a business dinner or a business lunch. To what extent is that personal or professional? Or if you
That's
guys,
a good
go,
question.
and if you go to a cocktail party and you're networking with a bunch of other people, is it social or is it professional? Is it personal or is it, professional? And when you get asked a question about, you know, your husband or your kids, or you mention that you went, you know, to your children's play last night at one of those, at a business meeting in the boardroom, have you all of a sudden become less professional because you were talking about going to your, you know, kids' school show last night?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this whole debate about the personal and the professional, I find a little bit of a misnomer. I mean, I understand, you know, it's always public and therefore, you know, you have to be concerned about, you know, it's always there forever and you don't want to do something stupid, you know, whereas you could make a stupid personal comment, I suppose, in a meeting in your boardroom that was personal and you know, it's not there for everybody to see, so to speak. However, this debate about somehow, you know, you always have to be one or the other on the web is a little bit of a misnomer in that sense, I think.
So is there particular...
I think it's always mixed up in business, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think, you know, you're absolutely right, because these, you know, I think the examples that you gave, you're saying they translate to the web pretty much on a one-to-one basis, you know. The cocktail party is Twitter, and, you know, maybe the lunch is, you know, going back and forth on comments, because you can go a little longer and get a little bit deeper. But, for some professionals, you know, because of the line of work they do, and especially it seems when it comes around, you know, to children specifically,
you know,
they're really struggling with that issue. And so, you know, my answer as someone who doesn't have children, you know, is sort of, well, there isn't really a distinction, and I sort of just connect with whomever and, hope for the best. But right. When I worked in real TV land, I've had stalker situations, strange situations happen. So I know there's a danger line. Has that ever come up for you where you feel like, you know, your personal has been infringed, or any tips for folks that you feel are common sense that maybe they've not thought of, where you feel like you've been able to avert anything, you know, not necessarily happening, but just, you know, kind of awkward situations?
No, not really. You know,
you're pretty easy to get to.
Well, I'm easy to get to, but, you know,
communicate with is more than anything.
But you know, I am who I am. you know, I think I do, you know, first and foremost, I want to do a good job for the company that I work for, because I happen to believe in the company. But, you know, I also happen to be a real person. And like I say, I mean, you know, so, you know, when you go out for dinner or even when I sit in a boardroom meeting, I mean, people around here will say, well, what did you do last night, right? You know, my colleagues ask that question, or customers will ask that question in kind of less than formal situations, or even if you're waiting for a meeting to start, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy your night in Austin last night. What did you do while you were here? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that kind of social talk that becomes part of you know, doing professional business. And I just don't see that the web is that much different.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got to give you the crown of being, you know, very early on the scene. So you've had time to sort of adjust to it as well.
Right.
Any particular tool that you haven't liked using, or maybe something that's gone away that you used early on?
Well, I don't, you know, I'm not sure that Delicious is used the way it used to be used by a lot of people. I still use it because, you know, it's important for me in terms of sharing information within our own company.
Mm-hmm.
And making, you know, what I think is interesting also readily available to others, you know, because that's part of my job, is to constantly be, you know, saying, have we thought about this, or are we thinking about this? So, you know, so I still use, I think it may be on the wane, but I think it's a great tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
social bookmarking is very important.
and it allows me to organize things in certain ways, you know, so that I can say to people in the company, oh, you know what, you need to go look at, you know, these bookmarks of mine, and they're marked, you know, social media and strategy and metrics and how to, you know, and if you look up all those tags, you're going to get 4 or 5 key articles about measurement.
I think that's a great lesson for everyone. You know, the more public you do organize these things, the more sometimes collaboration can be inspired, as you were saying, in the workplace you're using this. So I think, you know, that's, you know, collaboration and innovation, I think, are very related personally. So I think that's a great thing that you do. One question I want to ask you before we go, because we're running out of time, is, you know, back when you were in Canada and perhaps in politics, or when you were a lobbyist, you probably never thought that you were going to end up here, I assume.
Yeah, that would be correct.
So in the amount of time it took for you to get from that place to here, what do you think the future holds? Thinking of, you know, thinking far and wide, what does the future hold for you, Richard?
Oh, I don't know what it holds for me. I never worry about what it holds for me. You know, that'll evolve. But I must say that I think that the web will continue to emerge as a dominant tool, and I think that it will increasingly become interactive. And, you know, I think I saw some statistics the other day that said 500,000 people sign on to the web for the first time every day. So, you know, when you look at that over a year and kind of the growth, and then you look at kind of the interactivity that continues to emerge in all the different experimentations going on in social media, talk about a big world becoming smaller all the time, and talk about, who needs to get up and leave their office to go to a meeting anymore? I mean, you just, you know, figure it out all on the web. I mean, if you really want to know what your customers are saying, I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but as I've said to others, I mean, if there's a conversation in a Starbucks in Minneapolis today about between two businessmen about their data center and Dell, I can't hear that conversation. But I'll tell you, you know, those two business people are meeting on the web regularly and having discussions about their data centers, and I can hear those and I can engage with them, and it becomes a great opportunity to participate, to listen, to learn, and engage, and it all just works, I think, for a company that takes it seriously.
Well, Richard, I want to thank you so much for coming on the A-List. Really appreciate the time. We know you're busy. You're constantly at conferences. Folks can reach you on Twitter at Richard@Dell. So
right. Actually
at spelled out, Richard at Dell. And we'll make sure to get IdeaStorm and the Codex social media piece you were talking about linked on our website. And I can't thank you enough for joining us. And I hope you'll keep in touch and let us know about other successes, hopefully, that Dell can share with the business community as well as folks listening.
Well, thanks for having me on the program, Jennifer. I enjoyed it.
Great. Thanks so much,
okay.
Richard.
And
we thank you for bye-bye. We thank you for tuning into the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay, as we bid adieu to Richard Binhammer from Dell. And we hope you enjoyed the program. If so, we'd love it if you'd be so kind as to friend us or add us to your favorites here on Blog Talk Radio. And be sure to tune in when my featured guest next week is Marshall Sponder, who is founder of WebMetricsGuru.com. Again, that's WebMetricsGuru.com. You got to check out the site. Hopefully, you'll get inspired enough to tweet in some questions for Marshall in what I think is going to be a really interesting conversation. That's 1 week from today at 12 noon Pacific. As always, you can keep up with the latest on this show, archives, and free informational webcasts at jenniferlindsay.com. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.
We done?